By the way, I should explain that the Waters Band usually had a two-trumpet front line modeled on the early King Oliver Louis Armstrong records. But the 1942 wartime Yerba Buena Band had only one trumpet, namely Benny, and a shifting roster of substitute players like Bill Barden on trombone. To add volume and round out a seven-piece ensemble, there were usually the two reeds of Bob Helm and Ellis Horn. So from 1939 until moving to the East Bay after the war, the Don Club in San Francisco was home to Yerba Buena. A speakeasy in the 20s, the spacious nightclub with a long bar and large dance floor became a jazz mecca, broadcasting a half hour every Friday night on Radio KYA.
Well, just to get us off the air in a toe tapping mood, this might as well be our theme song for tonight. Lou Waters, the Yerba Buena Jazz Band at the Jazz Band Ball.
As Time magazine described the Don Club, quote, "Fans gather in the dark Annie Street cellar to the unmuted two-beat Dixieland rhythms. The college students, sailors, socialites, and nostalgic old-timers who pack the joint don't come to sit and listen. They're dancing rocks to the floor like an old-fashioned fireman's ball." But World War II intervened. Waters and most of the band joined the war effort, sometimes as musicians recruited to entertain fellow troops. Fortunately, Lou Waters, Turk Murphy, and others were stationed nearby, and so were often still heard at the Don Club. The defiant stance struck by Waters and his gang launched a worldwide jazz revival still ongoing three quarters of a century later. While the world of traditional jazz may seem pretty geriatric today, these were young men in 1942, mostly in their 20s. Lou was the eldest, 31. You have to remember there was a time when these enthusiasts, these guys, were the rock stars of their day.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, time's up and we've got to go. For the past half hour, you've been listening to a few of those real and righteous melodies emanating from the Don Club in downtown San Francisco this Friday night. Lou Waters and the Yerba Buena Jazz Band play here in the Don Club every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. We'd like to have you with us for the night. We're on the air over this station, KYA, Friday nights at 11. The nouns, verbs, and split infinitive this evening have been from Hal McIntyre. We'll see you next Friday night at the same time when we bring on the air Lou Waters and the Yerba Buena Band.
Trombone player Bill Barden was performing at the very tender age of 17 by special permission from the Musicians Union. And Bill consistently told me that Strickler's trumpet lead was distinctive in a very specific way.
Played very swingy, bouncy trumpet, as you can hear from the records.
What about the sound or tone of his trumpet? I think he's been compared to Scobie and Waters, hasn't he?
Compared to Waters, his sound was lighter and bouncier. Waters played a good, strong lead, but he did not have a light sound at all, which Benny Strickler did have when called for. Benny Strickler knew how to place his notes so that the whole band would swing when he was playing.
And we've heard Barden talk about the way he places the notes.
That's the simplicity, not playing a lot, just thinking about where this note is going to do the most good and putting it right there. One of the best things about those 1942 recordings is the lead is so simple and so direct, but it's so right. I mean, he doesn't play one note that's out of place.
Thank you.
Fidgety Feet, the 1942 Lou Waters Yerba Buena Jazz Band, featuring trumpet player Benny Strickler. Trombone player from those recordings, Bill Barden.
Now, Clancy liked to play the afterbeat cymbal a lot, and Clancy was a great one for swinging, too. And they made a great pair. So knowing that Clancy was going to play the afterbeat cymbal on 2 and 4, then Benny Strickler might start a solo by playing on 1 and 3. So you would get this piston effect, so to speak.
The beat always comes through when people talk about Strickler. Mm-hmm. When the other musicians talk about what he was doing in a band, it was something with the beat.
It's that relaxed, easygoing Southwestern beat and a very simple style. He didn't play ornate. He didn't play a lot of notes. He made every note count. That's really important when you want to swing a band.
What about his tone, the tone of his trumpet?
Bunk Johnson heard one of these transcriptions of the Yerba Buena Band, and he said, that's King Oliver on cornet.
And there's a lot of mention of Oliver influence on Strickler. It's mentioned quite a bit by Helman Barden.
Yes, that's certainly one of his influences, along with Bix and Louis Armstrong.
And Barden says that it was lighter, not just bouncier, but lighter than Waters. And I guess maybe this is this relaxation, but there seems to be some other quality that he maybe is referring to, and I can't quite put my finger on it.
I think he was a softer player. As I said, he made every note count.
Because the Waters brass was, as I understand it, amazingly loud.
Yes, from every source I've heard, that's exactly right. And I don't think Strickler played nearly that loud, but also it was just a one trumpet front line, and two clarinets aren't going to carry the same volume as two trumpets, so he didn't have to play as loud. Plus, he had TB, I'm sure he couldn't blow the same as he did in 1937 with Seeger Ellis. That's not loud, but it's got more force to it than his playing with Waters.
Thank you.
This amazing trombone sound is not our friend Bill Barden, but the man he emulated, Turk Murphy. Turk had a brash, in-your-face style that produced a huge volume, as you can hear. And playing his own trombone rag, I think Murphy manages, like Strickler himself, to sound both fresh and archaic at the same time. Turk called Benny one of his favorite trumpet players and said that he, quote, always played the right thing and had the knack for playing a very simple lead line and making every note count. So while Strickler is in San Francisco, his tuberculosis is worsening.
That's right. To the point where he just has to say, I can't do this anymore. Turk Murphy wrote about some of those sessions. He was holding a handkerchief up to his mouth to catch the bleeding, but playing anyway.
Jesus.
That's hard.
Turk Murphy's original trombone rag, the New Orleans Rover Boys, organized by trumpet player Chris Tile with Hal Smith drums, and Strickler's old friend Bob Helm, one of the two clarinet players. During this hour, we've been hearing selections from that tribute to Benny Strickler on the Stomp Off Records label. This is the Benny Strickler Story on Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer. So now we're dealing with recordings where Strickler is a principal, and we're really hearing him lead a band.
Yes. One reason I particularly like the 1942 recording of Kansas City Stomps by the Yerba Buena Band is that Benny Strickler shows a marked Lou Waters influence, using a lot of the same phrases and even the same notes. And I think it's the closest to Waters before the 1950s and 1960s. He was someone who appreciated all the earlier styles of Armstrong and Beiderbecke, Oliver, but in this particular setting, he played exactly what needed to be played, which was Lou Waters' style. I just think that's really admirable that he could pick up yet another style and make it work perfectly. Kansas City Stomps features the trumpet, unlike some of the sides. I think the band must have realized something special was happening there. And they just said, go on, take it. Thank you.
Well, we've arrived at Benny's sad final chapter. He'd had a bad cough and was coughing up blood, and I'm guessing he put off seeing a doctor because of the expense or the potential bad news until he was very ill with tuberculosis. And in fact, he was so weak at the Don Club that he had to play his trumpet sitting down. And after less than a month, maybe it was only 3 weeks there, he just couldn't blow anymore.
Well, the last night that I had a chance to play with Benny was in the middle of 1942, and he was having very much of a problem, hemorrhaging occasionally, and everybody was very concerned about his playing a trumpet, you know, and all the pressure on his lungs.
And there are even some descriptions by Helm and Barden about what he would do to get through a session.
Right, the drinking a pitcher of gin with cracked ice.
But he was determined to play one more night. Called for a big pitcher full of cracked ice and poured a fifth of gin in it and put it on a bandstand and said, I'm going to finish up the job. He did have a slight hemorrhage, but he was able to overcome it and finish the job out, and arranged for him to be hospitalized on the train and go back to Fayetteville, Arkansas. The last time I saw him or played with him, that was 1942.
Leaving San Francisco by train, Benny Strickler was so sick, he was accompanied by a nurse and doctor. He was only 25 years old.
And he went into a sanitarium. He lived 4 more years. He kept trying to play. He had a mouthpiece and a horn, and he wrote letters to Turk and Burt Bales and others and said, I'm still practicing. When I get out of here, I want to come back out and play with you guys. And that was his plan. He was just too sick to make it work.
So Yerba Buena in 1942 is the last we know for sure of Strickler leading a band. He always wanted to play again, and there are rumors he sat in with Bob Wills at one point, but he was never well enough to really perform again. Benny died in late 1946, just short of his 30th birthday. Facts confirm that the story behind the legend is true. Benny Strickler, in a short time, authored his own personal sound rooted in early jazz and mastered several musical styles. He had a special genius for lifting and knitting together any jazz ensemble he joined. Benny was achieving his musical goals, and his professional career was beginning to blossom and produce recordings when tuberculosis killed him at a young age. So this young hero of the trumpet so committed himself to music that his horn spoke with a directness and authority that was equal to any classic jazz horn leader. And I do believe that Benny Strickler was one of the jazz greats of the 1930s and 40s. You can investigate the Strickler story further at the Jazz Rhythm website, where you'll find photos and links, extended audio clips, and Hal Smith's fine series of articles and scrapbooks memorializing Benny at Jazz Hot Big Step. That's all one word, jazzhotbigstep.com. And in a future program, we'll get a close-up portrait of Benny from a former friend and bandmate in the Bob Wills Texas Playboys and search for traces of his lasting impact. My deep thanks to the late Bob Helm and Bill Barden for their fond memories of Benny. Thanks to Hal Smith for sharing his clear understanding of Strickler, the fruits of his research, and his dedication to preserving the memory of this remarkable musician. Thanks also for technical support from Leon Oakley, Chris Tile, Dan Radlauer, and radio station KALW. I'll leave the final word to the New Orleans Rover Boys, Chris Tile, Hal Smith and Company, playing the Dippermouth Blues, and of Benny's companions in music, Danny Alguire, Bill Barden, and Bob Helm. That's the Benny Strickler story on Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for listening.
Love. If like he'd have been in Waters Band instead of Scobie, I think that has been exactly what he's looking for. In fact, if he hadn't got sick, I think he'd just stayed in San Francisco. That was his first love.
I was very lucky to have been there and to have heard that.
It's an exceptional session all the way around, not the least of which is because of the participation of you two. I think you played some spectacular things, both of you did.
Well, I think they featured Benny at his best, even though he was not in good health. Records, I don't think you can hear as much Benny on any of the previous recordings as you can at those. I'm really happy that they got issued because of that. Benny's was a unique sound, and I would say, well, captivating.
Yes.
When he blew a note, you're captured.